This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So, it's me, it's Rory McIlroy, Bubbo, Watson, Jordan, Spieth, and it's Brockmire from the new IFC show,
Brockmire
on IFC. Congratulations on season two, Brockmire. And we're digging a trench, I think some people call it like a French drain.
Yes.
Because our driveway is on a slope. We all live in a house together. We're renting one just for this summer. And
doing some heavy work on it.
And we're doing heavy work. We're trying to flip it. And
new rental.
It'll flip you for real. Yeah, we're flipping to rental to try to rent it at a higher price for the second half of the summer. So the driveway is on a slope where when it rains, the garage floods.
Mm.
So we're trying to put a French drain in front and run it in the neighbor's backyard, make it their problem. And as we're
into their garage.
We're digging. Yeah, and we're aiming it at the garage. And we're digging and we keep getting shovelfuls of gold and we're throwing it over our shoulder and just going like, well, I don't want to deal melting this down or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But all these old miner 49ers.
All gold is fool's gold.
Well, yeah, because it's
think
fake,
about it.
Just a rock.
Think about it.
So these miner 49ers are sort of starting to gather around.
Yeah.
And snatch up all the gold.
Suddenly it's a boom town.
Yes. And so this house rental that was just a simple way for four or five friends to make money.
Yeah.
And hopefully rent out for a higher price for the second half of the summer after we did a lot of work.
Yeah.
Has become this boom town where all these minor 49ers are camping in the backyard cooking beans over the fire. And I am thinking, how do I get out of this now? Because nobody's going to want to rent this for the price we're asking with all these minor 49ers cooking beans in the yard.
Yeah. I guess the minor 49ers would, but you don't rent to them.
Well, no. And they only want to pay in gold, which, as I said, all gold is fool's gold.
Yeah,
and actually,
that's right.
You said it, but I was agreeing.
But I was going off a lot of the stuff you were saying.
Yeah. And so suddenly it occurs to me what the solution is, and it's to start shooting them all with a gun.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook and its Editor's Guide to Kicking Button, dropping names in the red carpet, linebacker, hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
Well,
look who it is.
If it isn't old Sean and Hayes, and we're back for another episode. Isn't that strange?
April 1st.
And to
all of you.
Merry tricksters.
And that wasn't necessarily
successfully done
what we intended to do initially, but now it's a nice big trick.
Uh-huh.
God, everyone.
Don't you think? So, obviously, a lot of people thought last episode was the last episode. That last episode wasn't the last episode. The next episode is the last episode.
Next, not this upcoming one, the one
not this
after
one,
that.
But we're doing two more from the last one. So this one and then one more. And then that will officially be the end of the show. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. And thanks for everyone. And that's the end of the show. Or is it?
Or is it the
or
end?
Are we doing a prank? And so you never know what to expect
and
with us.
And this is what we do now. This is our new thing that we do.
We have a guest coming in later. We're going to impractically joke the staff and have a lot of positive fun with pranks. But we also have been thinking about some larger scale things because we do want to end the show. We never want to do it again.
Yeah, people say like, are you ending the show? It's like, yes, ideally, of course we are.
Yeah, but
as soon as we have something to end it for.
We must get something else off the ground first because what happens to us is like, let's say last week we do the final show. It's over. People are going, oh, I missed the show, but it was a great way to go out. And we're going like, uh-oh. We don't have anything to do next week if we don't keep it going.
Yes. If something had come up in between, then yes, which is part of the advantage of ending a lot of our shows with like, this is our last show, because then if something comes up, we're already out the door.
Literally any opportunity we would take, if anyone has anything for us, we would rather be doing anything else. We don't have any ideas left for what to do with this show. We are rarely having fun. I don't like the show. I understand why people can't get into it. I'm just at a complete loss. So if you have something, an entry-level position, a mailroom I would work in, I will do anything. In the meantime, let's be proactive. Let's think of some pranks. Some big scale ones,
but that's
what
we're doing later. We do have some other ideas for stuff to do with the show that could maybe lead to some other things.
Well,
other opportunities.
Some people, because we now have a brand as Merry Tricksters, some people, there's a certain type of person who to me seems very susceptible to getting involved in a large scale prank project. Mm-hmm. And these people are, of course, This American Life producers.
Yes.
As far as I can tell, if I call them up and tell them I found a body, they have to come spend like 6 months with me.
Yes.
Recording everything I do and say.
And you can be very cryptic about it. And that's good because they like stringing it out for a long time. Oh. So they're loving it as you're being like, I don't.
When they get there, you start talking about totally other stuff. And you go like, well, I'm actually really interested in pine cones. And then you just do some other crazy shit. And then you go like, yeah, no, that old body still sticks in my craw a bit. And they go like, oh, we got to find out more about the body, but we got to pretend to be friends with this guy for a long time. And that to me is going to really benefit us, because way more people listen to that shit than this shit we're doing.
And then we can do more of these body shows. We can be constantly discovering more bodies, and it's like unclear what we were doing there and stuff.
We could go to jail and call them from jail.
So Cody, this is,
and they are in love with us.
A great use of Cody, who already looks like he washed ashore.
Mm-hmm. No, Cody's a textbook floater. He's bloated. He's got bruises. And he doesn't. Well, no.
His blood has all kind of sank to the back of him.
Yeah, he doesn't breathe with any regularity. He gets it in spurts where he won't be breathing for a long time. And suddenly we go. Like he was right at the edge of something bad happening. So I think that could really help us. And Cody, if you want to call up, Starly Kind, who's a thing?
Like the cereal people?
Sarah Kane and Gable?
Yeah, I mean, we start with Ira. I don't know. Does it have like?
Let's call Ira.
Let's call Ira.
Can you dial Ira up for us?
Okay, one sec. Hold on. Searching for the number here.
Okay, you getting a number?
No. One sec. I call him this time of day every Thursday.
It's Ira Glass's phone. I'm Ira Glass.
Hey, Ira. It's a real guy, normal, salt of the earth type, regular person kind of guys you do the stuff with.
Yeah.
Yeah, calling, found a body in a tree, looked like a punk rocker, grunge guy.
A body in a tree. What kind of town was this body found in?
Oh, the town's so fucked up, man.
But does it seem like a normal town?
Yeah, it's normal, but like, you know, the normal world is kind of fucked up. Like people in the big city would be really interested in this because it sounds like, oh wow, this is really how towns are.
Okay, and what is your relationship to this body?
I'm humping it.
Okay. And are you generally a little more withholding about that?
Yes, yes, yes. No,
just for the purposes of this phone call, you're just trying to download me on the information, I understand. But
yeah. Oh, I can't really say how I know the body, just okay. that I do know it quite well. And that.
Okay, that's good.
And that I was in the tree because of the pine cones.
I just want to make sure. Rita, are you on the line? Are you getting this? Yes, I'm getting it all. Okay. Because of pine cones?
Yeah, I was in the tree because of the pine cones. You know, conifers, in a way, sort of represent to me the truest form of the life cycle. They get big and round, and then they fall. So, you know, that's okay. Maybe something you could put some music under, and that's yeah. now a powerful message.
I could use that. Is there any way I can speak to the, like, do we have access to the body itself? Is there, like,
Yeah, I'll stomp on it and make it make a noise. Huh. Cody.
I didn't hear any noise. It seems like the body.
Cody, you're the body.
Didn't make any noise.
Huh. Okay.
That was, what was that?
It's like he did a thing with his lip. Like a.
Oh, that's disgusting. That's good. Okay. Any other details about the body we should, we have the town, we have that you're interested in nature. Any interesting family history that we can get into?
I've got a long sort of Birbiglia style story.
That's great. Oh God, that's fantastic. We love Birbiglia.
High school, you know?
Okay.
Like having a best friend or something.
Yeah. Is it?
And growing apart.
Is it unusual in any way from what other people, from like what most people deal with?
Just in how long I talk about it.
That's great. That sounds perfect. So we'll send him out.
Is that not going to be white on white if he's here and I'm doing this?
It helps to just like, once we are really getting some momentum with an interesting story on the show, it helps to bring him in to start doing his thing for a little while. Who else? Hannah Joffrey Waltz, I guess we can send out as well if that sounds good.
Could be good. Jack Hitt, Scott Carrier, Jonathan Goldstein.
Okay.
All people who don't work there anymore,
What's a good name for Body Town?
Yeah, body tree, body.
Oh yeah,
body tree.
Yeah, okay, body tree.
Body town. Maybe it's body town. I'm like next door to a brothel or something, or a burlesque house.
Okay.
Like, does that feel like there's some, or do you feel like there's not enough elements?
No, I think we can do something with it.
Oh, and one other thing. This guy, his girlfriend really doesn't want to be a part of the story. So maybe we start just camped out in her house or something.
That's good. And we just hear her a little bit saying no, that she doesn't want to be on the show. But
and
we're
then
putting
we give,
that on
and
the
And then
show.
We give all of her information out for people to kind of get in there.
That's good. This will be good money for me. I'm sort of a master of making it and spending it, frankly.
All right, podcast man. Do something normal, cook a dinner
I'm going to make up the Tori Malatia joke. We do that first. We come up with a good Tori Malatia joke.
Tori Malatia first and then.
And then the show. And then we
hopefully can
engineer
the show into the Tori Malatia yes. joke somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's our show. Bye.
He got to say that's our show to me.
So great.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear the phone call, Hayes?
Yeah, I was on the headphones. I wish I were more involved. It was something that we came up with together.
Yeah, but that's weird. Two people,
now
that
it seems
doesn't
like
really
it's
work.
You and Cody.
You got like, you know, like you can only have one sort of Adnan figure.
Yeah. I don't know. There are lots of characters in all these things. I don't know why the idea that there could only be two characters, I think, is
well, one of the characters
insane.
Is the reporter.
Right.
One of the characters is the unusual guy they're in love with.
Right. The girlfriend, I guess, who doesn't want to be. I guess I could do that.
That would be great for you. That's huge.
That would be good.
You're in a living room. You're going like, please don't record me. They give all your information. Then people are like showing up in your yard or whatever.
I'd like that.
Am I still the floater?
Cody, you're not a floater. You were found in a tree. Now, how is a floater in a tree? Did there used to be a river in that tree?
Is that the, yes, that's
you know, good. Is that part of the story? This whole town's changed so much. There used to be a river in the trees. And that's sort of like how America's climate change is ruining everything or whatever.
We have a different thing that we're doing now with Carl Tart on Hollywood Handbook. So it's me, it's Nick, Van Axel, all-nighter doing the apartment newsletter. You know, like for our apartment building, we print out the newsletter where we're talking about whose like pet has a birthday. And who's been making noise, and we hand it out, we slip it under everyone's door.
And it's good-natured.
Yes. The apartment news. And so we finally, this is final copies, and the news is done. And so we're printing them out, and we print them double-sided because we
save paper.
We don't have that much paper.
And you can't afford a paper,
And I see on the other side is these drawings, these like beautiful drawings. And I'm like, Nick, are these what are these drawings from?
He's a secret artist.
He secretly is so talented with his art.
Oh my gosh. He's doing this amazing shy about art. It?
Yes. He doesn't even like to talk about being such a good artist because I guess he got made fun of by Dikembe Mutombo or somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
And so he
to
draws
me.
Him like beating him up.
When people have these secret skills, Nick draws himself
beating up Dikembe Mutombo.
And those are the beautiful drawings you saw?
Yes. They are really nice.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And that's, I said, Nick, guess what I said?
You said, Nick?
What did I say first?
Oh, first you went, these are so good.
And no, I had to say, stop the presses.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Wow. That's really fun. So, it was, but it's just a printer. It's just like a laser printer, right?
Yeah, but you have to like... stop it.
You have to hit cancel on the screen, yeah.
And so guess then what I said.
Then you said, Nick, these are so good.
Yeah.
You have to share these with the world.
We have to put these in the news.
And yes.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook.
This is
Guy to Kicking Button, dropping names of the
red
lines of this
red carpet linebacker hallways.
Oh, week.
What up?
What a week. It was so interesting.
This week has been insane. We learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about other people.
We, at the end of our last show, said that we weren't going to do any more shows.
And it was a devilish, mischievous trick that we play like Loki, the trickster god.
Yes, that we do about every 5 weeks.
Uh-huh. I mean, we were being Thor's, you know, brother.
And people, all these people we think are going to say, just nice prank. That's what we're expecting.
Yeah, thanks for trying to prank me.
Yes.
You've done this 15, 20 times before, and I'm not falling for it again. But instead what happened, everyone fell for the trick.
Everyone fell for it.
Yeah.
So many people cried.
Yes.
Cody called me saying, basically like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Cody called me at 4 a.m. He sounded like he was on something. And I don't know, you know, that world.
I told him to take something. After he called me, I said that he needed to take something to. Was he down? Because he was way like, he was very excited when he was talking to me. And I said, you need to take something to
bring you down. With me, he sounded, like his jaw was moving slower than his mind. So, which is hard to do, you know?
So I said, come
move
over.
Move slower than that, mind.
Clean my bath. I made him do that.
But he called me very upset about the show and about stuff just going on for him. And basically, it was such a thrill to me to have done a trick that big and tricked the world and fooled the whole world. And I thought, now I know why these impractical jokesers
We have to talk about it. We have to explain what that is for people that don't know it. Because
it's an underground thing.
Because I'm finding out about this power experience. I'm saying I have to keep doing this again for the rest of my life. I'm Googling tricks. Mm-hmm. What are some other tricks?
Yeah.
And coming up over and over again are these guys, these impractical jokers. Do you know about these guys?
This isn't even on. God.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
I guess that's anyway, what.
Can you believe his jaw was moving slower than that mind? This guy.
These guys. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest.
I mean, maybe Carl could explain a little bit about these guys. Because they've gone viral at this point.
These guys, yeah. Because I'm still kind of figuring out this thing. These impractical jokers. And Carl Tard is here.
Hi.
From comedy, from shows, from making jokes, from just being an exciting talent.
Carl, talk a little bit about
you do practical
jokes. I do practical jokes. I do practical humor.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like Gallagher. Practical.
Yes.
It's something you can use.
It's useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not impractical.
It's Gallagher. You're feeding people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feeding people crushed watermelon.
That's practical. In practice,
impractical
the watermelon's jokes. Here and it's smashed. People could have it.
You have to smash it.
You got to smash it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Obviously, we talk about Gallagher almost every episode, but here we're going to talk about somebody who does the opposite. They do these impractical jokes. And these guys have gone viral, basically.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind going viral myself because what I see is that's a gravy train.
So can you talk about the impractical jokers and your relationship to them,
yeah,
Carl?
I can talk about the impractical jokers and my relationship. We all went to high school together in Long Island and Staten Island. I'm sorry. I get them mixed up. I was a transfer.
You well, you used to transfer every other day, right? From Long Island from to Staten Island. Island.
Yeah. Because, you know, times were hard back then.
Yeah.
In the early 90s.
You were a stowaway on that boat, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ellis Island, Long Island, Staten Island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like my family came in.
Fire Island.
Fire mm-hmm. Island.
All everything. Play. Yeah. All the whole, you know.
The boys do the whole like chain. To play out there, don't they?
Ghost Island. Scooby-Doo.
Now that one, yeah, that one I didn't know so much about. So I guess in between Staten Island and Long Island, mm-hmm. it only appears, I guess, for an hour a night. There is a ghost island where the spirits gather for their ghoulish.
Or they roam.
Ball. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And on Ghost Fire Island is where the Ghost Boys play.
Yes. And
they do like to play out
those
there.
Ghost Boys do like to play. So you went to high school with them, and then your relationship are they pranking you at this point, or?
Can we talk about these guys, like, because these are your guys,
mm-hmm.
these jokers, what are the, it's Yertle, what are some of the other ones, Damien?
Yertle, Damien, Fix Row.
Yeah.
Fixro.
Yeah, Fix Row.
We played football together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He was the front back, and it's Rudel, Damien, Fixrow.
Rudel, Damien, Fixrow.
Yeah,
Fixrow was the front back.
Yeah,
and then Rudel was the side to side.
Mm-hmm. And Tane.
Tane.
And that's him. Bringing me back.
Yeah, Tane is the guy who I'm just gonna say Rudel.
Rudo, Fixroy,
Fixrow,
Damien,
and Tane.
And when Tane shows up.
When Tane shows up.
Now it's.
The pain shows up.
Okay. And that's true. And I was the headmaster of the school. So I know all these guys. I have a little bit of a different relationship. And mm-hmm. I was hard on you, Carl, but I was hard on you because I saw potential.
You are. Mm-hmm. You kicked me out of school every day and then told me I could come back every other day.
Yeah.
That's why I kept having to transfer from Staten Island.
But a light to Long kick. Island. It's not really. It's like kind of the equivalent of like face mugging somebody. Put his foot up against your butt gently and then just give you a little.
No velocity to it. Yeah. Just sort of guiding you with the foot. I'm sitting in a rolling chair and I'm sort of rolling myself along with the foot moving you towards the door.
Yeah. And you're propelling backwards, I guess.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I don't move because I'm a brick shit house.
No, and yeah,
that was your position.
We should talk about that. Yeah, you played Brick Shit House. Yeah. You were obviously, no wonder you were so close to the front back. I mean, you guys are basically partners in there.
It's front back, it's side to side, and it's Brick Shit House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you got those three positions locked down, it's going to be hard to score a goal, you know?
Man, I could have gone.
For anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened there?
You know, sometimes when you're a Brick Shit House, the foundation on that house gives. Let's just say I'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that to the imagination of the listener.
Okay. And I can see I'm looking at your feet.
Sounds like there was an earthquake at your feet.
And his feet crumbled. Got swallowed up by the earth.
That's what the event was called because everybody saw it. All the college scouts were in the audience. California State, Arizona State, New Mexico State, Utah State, Texas State, Mississippi State, Alabama State, all the state schools, none of the universities, all the state colleges were in the audience, and they called it the earthquake in Staten, Long Island.
Yeah.
The Brick Shit House lost its foundation.
They and all its saw feet,
it.
Yeah.
Wow. You can Google it.
No, yeah, you can Google it. Nothing comes up. But it's just
you
like
can Google anything.
But you can literally Google anything.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, you can do it.
Yeah.
What was it? Were there pranks? Then, like even before.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Tane bringing the pain.
Tane brings the pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fitzroe, don't want you to know.
Damien. You can go to Rudel next.
Oh, Rudel likes toasted strudel. And Damien?
And he's going to get it by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Damien brings the pain in.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. Oh, gosh. Brings me back thinking about those guys and having to kick them out of school every other day and then invite them back the following day. But
you're in that rolling chair, and it became that in order to move in one direction, you would have to kick someone out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think it became just kind of like practical for you just to move around.
Yeah.
Because how else are you going to?
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about practicality and impracticality today. And it was a practical method of movement for me. I had so many tacks put on my chair that my butt was pinned to the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of being a headmaster.
Yeah.
At a school like that.
Mm-hmm.
That you are going to get pinned to the chair and you are going to not want to admit that you can't stand up, and you're going to pretend that as you're sort of pushing with one foot and have the other foot stuck out straight from another prank that happened to you where you can't bend your knee anymore, that's what you're choosing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a power dynamic that we had.
So, Carl, you're watching these guys, your friends, and you're watching them do these pranks. And you're saying, like, are you, like, learning from them? Are you studying some of these impractical jokes that they're doing?
Yeah, I'm kind of checking it out.
Yeah.
Because after the earthquake in Long Staten Island, I needed to find a new lane, you know?
Yeah.
Because football wasn't going to do it.
No.
So
construction on that lane now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cones.
So, yeah. You know, Tane also brings a lane. And he gave me the lane of impractical jokes.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, I'm more of a practical guy.
Is there a pain lane that he brings?
Yeah, there's a pain lane at Tane, and he walks a Great Dane on that.
Marmaduke.
Like
Marmaduke.
Yeah.
Wow.
These guys were getting, like, college scholarship looks for
impractical jokes. For impractical jokes.
Montana State. Idaho State.
Yeah.
North Dakota State, South Dakota State.
That's a lot of people's ticket out now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is like if you that's if the only a way, state school.
Look, that's the only way off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't behave your way off the island, they say.
That's
you,
for sure.
You prank your way off.
No, there's a lot of skeletons on that island of guys who thought they could behave their way off and just became just bones.
Yeah. That's the Fire Island slogan too. You don't behave your way off that island.
No,
this is where the boys play.
No, that's where the boys play. You play your way off that island with the other boys.
Yeah,
yeah. It is the way. Now you've either got like a jump shot or a slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
They say these days.
Yeah,
you're either firing a slingshot at the principal,
Dennis Menace style, firing it. You know, paper wasp into the dude's rear end.
Yeah.
Or
you're Nick Van Exel.
Or you're Van Exel.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back around. So obviously, you were inspired. You saw some of these impractical jokes. You saw this as a window, maybe, okay, if football's not going to happen for me, this is another way for me to find my ticket out. Do you remember your first prank? When did you first realize you were pranking?
You know, I started running with that crowd, and it was a bad time. So basically, like, Fix Row walked up to me. I was like, yo, Garl over here. This is what you need to do. You need to go up to that guy over there. You need to put this post-it note on his back.
Did it say anything on the note?
No. It was a blank post-it note. It was blank. And I'm like, I'm not just going to waste a stack of post-it notes, okay? I'm just trying to make it out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, this is what you need to do. Well, I'm calling over Tate. Tane's going to run down the lane. He's going to bring the pain. He's going to bite you with his great day.
Oh, no.
Tane's very effective for the pranks being implemented.
Yeah, because people wouldn't do
it. Just the threat of Tane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make you go insane.
And as far as I know, Tane's Great Dane has never actually brought the pain. It's the idea that he's going to is a powerful enough. Yeah.
I've never seen it, but the leash is very long.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it must be a big dog.
Yeah, and it's and I should say this, it is a leash that is long, that is fully extended. It's not one of these leashes that pulls out further from, you're not supposed to use those. They encourage pulling.
Oh, I don't have any dogs.
No, but I'm just saying, if you see Tane, like, let him
That's
know.
Why he's telling
Okay.
Yeah. Enough, because
I don't see Tane much anymore besides on Truth TV.
Truth TV, yeah.
It's not reality, it's actuality.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fine line to distinguish the two.
Mm-hmm.
One is real stuff. The other one is just called actuality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Can you explain that a little more?
Okay. It's kind of a difference between a lawyer and a catfish. They're pretty similar.
Yeah.
But you can't find a difference if you poke around a bit.
I don't have any pets.
Well, I'm sorry. It's going to be hard. I do so many animal metaphors on this show.
We want to see one of these things because we want to be doing more of this viral stuff.
We'd like to go viral, and we thought we'd bring in somebody who knows, you know, how these guys operate.
I knew how they operated. You know, this is we were in high school 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I can tell you how they operated then. Mm-hmm. I can give you I watched their show on Truth TV, and I can tell you a little bit about what they do now. But
okay.
Let me just warn you now: there's a reason that there's a ghost island. Okay.
Oh no.
Oh wow.
It's from pranks.
They send everyone to Ghost Island, so, and that's where they have to resolve their.
You just let me just tell you this: you're playing with hot water.
Oh, people who were pranked in life. Then have to go to Ghost Island in order to take their revenge.
This is different for me because I am usually playing with warm water. Give me like a nice big cup of warm water and I'm good for the day just in terms of entertaining myself.
Yeah, you can play with that. You can
That's a great toy.
You can do a lot of stuff with warm water, but you're playing with hot water when you start pranking.
Okay, it would help to maybe watch you do it first.
Okay, and I hate to invite you back to this dark place.
It's all right. I'll do anything for you guys.
So maybe we do one where you go up to Cody.
I tell Cody, yeah. Okay, so go to Cody.
Cody, turn your things up. Like, do whatever.
Don't be listening, Cody.
Yeah.
All right, I'm never listening anyway, so.
Go up to Cody and ask him like to order a hot dog or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Ask him.
What you guys are starting me.
Oh, wait, Kevin's here.
Oh, wait, Kevin's here. Kevin's here. Okay. Oh, this is earlier than we wanted.
Okay, Kevin, go. Thank you.
Okay, come back later. Okay, so go up to Cody, and what do you want him to say to Cody?
Well, you were saying you want Cody to order a hot dog?
Oh, have Cody order a hot dog, and then ask Cody if he thinks Hayes is cute.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Okay. This is crazy. This is nuts. And let me just tell you this. I wouldn't be doing this.
Okay.
I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love you two guys. Ooh, baby, I love your ways.
Yes.
Oh, girl. I want to tell you I love your ways.
We're all have a lot of love for one another.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have asked you to do something this fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, and devastating.
Really
if we
gonna dig this.
All
I
so
think
close.
People are
I good. Think it's good for people to hear. I think we could go viral. And we're all best friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do the hot dog thing first.
Here it goes. All right, here it goes.
Hey, Cody.
Yo.
Can I talk to
yo,
you?
Yo, yo, yo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to know if you could I just opened up a hot dog business. And I'm giving away free hot dogs today here.
Yes. Oh.
In the studio art.
Okay.
And I want to offer you one. What would you like to order?
You want to offer me a hot dog?
Yeah.
For it.
You want a hot dog?
He's been here the whole time. He thinks there's
a hot dog. Do you want a hot dog?
Dude, I'll take a hot dog.
You want a hot dog?
I'll take a hot dog,
all right,
man.
All right. But first, what do you want on? You want ketchup?
Ketchup sounds good. Sure.
Mustard.
Yes, it's ketchup.
You want mustard?
Stop doing the voice.
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard? You want honey mustard and ketchup?
What?
You want honey mayo? Do you want honey
mayo? No mayo.
No mayo? You want relish?
No. Just how it is now. That's fine.
Ketchup and honey mustard.
No. How it is now.
Wait, there is a hot dog?
And also.
Oh, there it is.
He can see it.
I got to ask you something.
What?
You see that guy over there?
No, he's what, doing it.
Hayes right here?
Hayes.
He's looking at me.
Or Sean.
Hayes.
His.
Do you find him attractive at all?
What? What the fuck?
Do you think he's cute?
What the fuck?
Actually, I'm going to get ahead. I'm sorry. I have to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
Cody does have a girlfriend. I didn't.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't think of that at the beginning.
You know, I don't like to prank people in relationships.
I know. I'm sorry, Cody. I know. I'm sorry. I forgot that Cody has a girlfriend.
Cody has a girlfriend.
I'm so sorry, Cody. This was a prank, Cody. This was a prank. We planned this all out. We forgot that you have a girlfriend. It's not nice for you to have to think about cuteness of other people.
Yeah. Cody. Yeah. Is a loyal lover.
Yes.
And for him to consider whether Hayes is cute is going to shake up his whole relationship. And he's been working pretty hard in that relationship. He brings his girlfriend to work a lot so we can see her.
And we'll say, yes, that's right. Why is she here so much? It must be just so we can behold her. And remember that the Cody.
There can't be that many
Cody
reasons
is,
for her to be here.
Cody is a boyfriend. And Cody is very bad at his job.
Mm-hmm.
He is very bad at everything else that he likes to do outside of his job, mm-hmm. just skateboarding and walking around and stuff. But he is a very sweet boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so. I guess this is a good example of how these things can go so wrong.
Yeah, you've shown us that this could blow up in our face. Oh my God, Kevin's here.
Kevin, get out. Kevin, get out. Get out.
Get out of here, Kevin.
Okay.
That was close. So we've learned a little bit about these things can go pretty wrong. If you have somebody whose whole identity is wrapped up in them being a boyfriend and doing very small Venmo transactions with their girlfriend. And keeping their settings to public so everyone can see it. It's like if he thinks Hayes is cute, then what's he going to be paying Hayes for now?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he sending Hayes $350?
I'm just starting to see mysterious, tiny Venmo payments showing up in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to think that Cody's going into boyfriend mode again
and
with
he's
going to
expect
Hayes.
Something back from you. And yes. I think that could have really destroyed Cody's life in a way just from doing this one small impractical joke prank.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, Carl, I appreciate the question and stuff, and mm-hmm. that's cool. Like, I'm usually down to answer questions, but in this case, like,
Cody's very
why
reactive.
Do you gotta shake me in my core?
Thing.
But you saw it almost made him explode.
It was close, man. Like, I don't
when
know
do you
what
guys,
kind of got.
When do you guys tell him?
What?
Tell him that this.
That this was a prank?
Yeah.
That
okay.
It was a prank that we were doing a prank.
I feel like I did do that.
We did
I feel like
say
I did
that.
Spend some time doing that, but you were writing
your
name on the
double,
table, which is
when do you guys tell him?
Do you want to double reverse-y prank him, where we then say now that this part was a prank and try to get him back into the other prank?
When do you guys tell him that first one?
That's a,
It was a prank.
Oh, gosh. I really feel like we went over it a couple times.
I feel like we told him, and I think then we did just tell you that it was a prank, but you were writing your name on the table.
No, I get that. I get that. I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
I understand.
No, go ahead. You have a question. We keep interrupting. What do you want to know?
This is all I wanted to know, if I could just get this out. When do you guys tell him that original thing that I did to him was a prank? Are you guys going to tell him that, or do we just, like, let it go?
You know what?
Maybe camera magic?
Maybe it's best to let it go, right?
Okay. Right. That's fine. And maybe we can move on to a nice one with Kevin, because that one was so nasty, so mean. And nice to pull it back a little bit.
Well, pranks can be positive. I think that if you recall, there was a little group called Flash Mob Everywhere that, you know, would bring movies to life and have Tyrannosaurus running in New York City and all these events.
Yeah. I went to high school with those guys.
Were viral.
Oh, you did?
No.
Yeah.
The whole Flash Mob?
Oh, that's right. I was headmaster for the Flash Mob.
Mm-hmm. It's rough at those schools because the class sizes are really not built for all these flash mobs in class.
No,
dancing, people dancing.
There'd be one teacher for a 200-person flash mob.
It's hard to learn because there's a friggin' pillow fight.
It was like
going
Lean on Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys ever seen
Kevin? Kevin, leave. Kevin, get out. Get out.
Well, I remember they'd all be dressed as Best Buy employees and they'd just bust out these dances.
Yeah. What was that? Tell me.
I was too caught up with the Impractical Jokers to really notice the flash mobs.
You didn't even notice the flash mobs.
No. Yeah. Wow. It was not until you were going through your yearbook later and saw that the entire flash mob had signed it.
Yeah. It was like 3 pages for over people's pictures, too. Like, which I didn't like.
Not that's over
rude.
The picture. Do
that's
it to the
rude.
Side.
Do it to the side.
Do it to the side. That's what the space is for, or in the back.
Flash mobs don't give a fuck.
They're just rolling through school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe so we do a flash mob on Kevin?
Yeah, let's try to do a flash mob style prank on Kevin. But then positive.
After that, we tell him that was a...
Tell Cody?
Yeah, tell Cody.
That the original thing was a prank?
Yeah.
Sure, okay, sure.
Cool.
Kevin! Kevin! Kevin!
Kevin.
Kevin!
Okay, Kevin.
He's here. Kevin, he's here.
Okay.
Shh. Hey, Kevin.
Stand in the corner. Just stand kind of back there in the corner a little bit. Okay, so Carl, this is Kevin.
I don't care.
So, maybe one of if you Kevin's look at him, he...
went to high school together.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
What kind of clique was he in?
He was a part of the Dilly Dallys.
Oh,
no, and they're always a little late. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kevin, Kevin did hurt himself over the last couple days. You can see he has his arm in a sling. Maybe you can look at him and think of a good flash mob to do.
Okay, mm-hmm.
On him,
Kevin. All the girls in the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like you never did see. Got a nice package.
And I'm just reading a newspaper. I'm just like, keep going. Oh, yeah. And I'm just like a business guy, and I'm like walking around and I'm being like, what's going on?
I'm a lifeguard up in a chair, just sort of surveying, just like I'm. And now I'm going to blow my whistle. Everybody into the flash mob!
And I'm the business guy. And like, now I'm like grooving too all of a sudden. And I'm like dancing the same as you guys. Look at us. We're doing a synchronized dance.
And knowing the shark swam up out of the water and it's actually engineered.
Now I am going to have to put a stop to this. That's much too scary for what we're trying to do here.
This was supposed to be positive.
This was supposed to be a fun, positive flash mob for Kevin.
Kevin needs our help right now. He's a sexual deviant who has an injury.
Can I be like, I was just one of those harmless sharks, not one of the dangerous ones.
Like a nurse shark?
Tiger shark. Or
like a nurse shark?
Or a killer whale.
What about a killer whale?
Humpback whale.
Yeah, with the baleen.
So here's
humpback whale don't have teeth. And Kevin, you'll appreciate this. They have what's known as baleen. And it is a semi-permeable membrane inside their mouth.
Carl doesn't have any pets.
I don't have any pets.
The plankton come through. Well, okay. Carl doesn't have any pets, so we'll have to do this lesson another time. But I can't get out of headmaster mode sometimes with these kids.
So what? I hate to see that go so badly. Kevin comes in here. He did hurt him. So
is there
just to explain
else?
To you, Carl? Kevin takes these pictures. He takes them back to this little lair of his, and he uses
calls it his
them
dungeon, yeah.
To a little like a little frittage play where he brings himself to the edge, but never gets like a full release, which you could say like probably a way to do that is to use your left hand. And we noticed today Kevin does have his left arm in a sling, probably from bringing himself potentially too close to the edge.
Well, and what Kevin is telling people is the story of how he got hurt is he's pretending that a woman hit him with his car, and he did pretend to the woman that it is Kevin's pickup style. Kevin, do you want to talk a little bit about your pickup style?
Yeah, I'll often jump in front of cars and say, like, hey, you almost broke my heart there, sweetheart. Often they call the police, and it doesn't go to my benefit.
And the T doesn't need to be hit so hard in the word often.
Often.
People think they're going to sound smart when they do that, but I actually read an interview with Will Smith once, who's kind of like a grammar maniac.
I don't have any pens.
Sure.
and he said that he drives him crazy when people hit the T in often. Because, you know, they think they're sounding smart, but that's actually not how it's pronounced.
Kevin and I are from the islands. So we say often. Mm-hmm. Often. Longstaden Island, Ghost Island, Fire Island, where the boys play. That's where we're from. That's what we say. You know, Kevin used to kick it with Tane.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, Kevin, you're tight with Tane? Did he teach you this pickup style?
Did he bring you the pain?
Yeah, he brought me the pain figuratively and literally and gave me a notebook with all these pickup lines. I don't have any pets either.
So your pickup style is based in pain and trickery, which are the two things we know Tane really loves. Mm-hmm. Although Tane does have a pet.
He does. He's a Great Dane. That he stands on the lane and follows the rain on Kapiti Plain.
I thought Dane was his roommate.
Great Dane. No, that is a Great Dane is a dog. That's the name of the kind of dog.
Oh, I thought that's what he called his roommate, Great Dane.
No. No, that's
sorry.
Not. I wasn't there, but I know that's not what happened. I know it was a dog.
Mm-hmm. You were his best friend in high school, Kevin. His best
and
friend.
Also, this is high school.
They lived with.
It's
him.
Not really a roommate situation. Maybe there is because you described yourself as a headmaster, which is kind of like a private schooly thing. Mm-hmm. But this is a school that seems to exist on multiple islands. It's part of an island chain.
You were the closest person to him, other than his girlfriend Dominic Swain.
Yeah, we would hang out often.
And so, Kevin, I get it. I saw you did that on purpose. I'm sorry that we scared you and you did hurt yourself and that we threatened you with additional shark pain, which is that was not a good prank to do. That was not a nice flash mob.
Yeah, and the intention was to bring something positive to try to sort of heal you on a couple levels.
Yeah.
One, you know, physically your arm is busted up. Two, you're so fucked up. Like, you're so fucking sick. Your sexual experience is so tied up in all these, like, freakish sort of lies and just secrets and just nasty little dark corners of your life. It's a spiral or something. Like, it's only going to get worse and more intense.
Imagine what he would do with a pet. When we were talking about pets, I saw him get an idea, and I don't know what it was, but he licked his lips.
Yeah. What was the idea, Kevin?
I don't want to share it.
Well, and that's part of the problem is you're not sharing these things.
Yeah.
And it's creating a shame spiral.
Part of the pleasure is not sharing it with you guys. It's keeping it to myself.
That's not pleasure, Kevin. You're creating a shame spiral.
What's a good – maybe we bring like Josh in here or something and we do like a nice – like really get this right. Do something that can go viral in a nice way.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't do that.
I'd be
you don't
very
want Josh in here?
Oh, I don't care about that. I just wouldn't.
I mean, I don't give a shit, but like I would not recommend it.
See, these guys –
These guys have been like the little stars of the show for so long, and they're like, oh no, you don't want to bring Josh into this.
They're
like,
I think they're scared of
potentially a good new energy that Josh could be bringing to the show.
Are we going to tell Kevin that that was a flash mob?
Okay. So I see you've written your name a few more times, Carl. Mm-hmm. We did tell Kevin it was a flash mob. I don't expect you to hear this.
I get that.
Yeah, but you have a question still. So.
Yeah. Are you going to tell him, though?
Well, sometimes your name is written as Mr. Tane, which I don't – is it like – are you hoping to marry Tane?
Yeah. I'm hoping to marry Tane. Tane is a guy who brings the pain. Yeah. I want the pain.
Yeah.
I want to kiss him in the rain on Capiti Plain.
Mm-hmm. And you won't rest till all his other suitors have been slain.
Yep. Including Dominique Swain.
Yes.
His main dame.
Swain Spiral.
So maybe we get Josh in here. What's a sort of concept for a prank we could do with Josh that's really going to be positive and not become scary like Kevin's or challenge his entire identity like Cody's?
Maybe we think of – it's not a prank. It's not a flash mob. It has to be something in between.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get Josh. Josh! Josh. Oh, and Great Dana's here too.
Oh, yeah. Great Dana.
Dana. Josh and Dana. So what's a different kind? You do all these pranks. What's like another kind of thing?
You've seen okay, some so of Josh, stuff.
Okay, so Josh, you guys just stand
in the corner until we're ready.
Just stand in the corner.
Yeah, just stand in the corner. Okay, so what would be like something the Impractical Jokers might do that would, you know, maybe be a little bit more positive?
The most prominent one I remember is the Post-it on the back.
Okay. I don't know how to do that.
There's also another one where they drive up in a van and tell strangers to get in the van.
Okay.
That could be cool.
You could give them a pair of yoga pants and say, like, hey, put these on, and then say, you actually look really great in these. Like, it really compliments, you know, your figure. I think they did that once.
That's a great prank right there. I think we should
It's good. It's a positive body image prank. Yeah.
Okay.
You could steal their identities.
That's a great one,
I think Kevin wants
Cody,
them to change
found,
in
we,
front of
we
him.
We found something, Cody. We just found something that we liked. And it is obviously to indulge Kevin's desire to have people change
I'll look
clothes.
Away. Somebody's got to tell Kevin about that flash mob because he is coming up with great pranks.
Yeah, he deserves to know.
But then Cody's like, oh, but what about this one? It's like, no, we just got it.
Cody just saw the Identity Thief movie.
Okay, let's go with that. So, Carl, you go up to them and you take these yoga pants. And okay, you know what to do.
All right. Hey, guys.
Hey.
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 I got you two pairs of Lululemon yoga pants. And I'd like you to put them on. Here's your pair, and here's your pair.
Extra small.
Yeah, you guys
figured it out.
Are smaller framed folks.
I have some friends who would love this. I mean, thank you. I don't know if I feel comfortable wearing
this. I'll put them on. I'm going to put them on. Right
fucking
now.
Up. Yeah. He's the ruining
on.
It.
Put the pants on. Put the pants on. Both of you.
I'm putting it. I mean,
not over your other pants.
Now this feels. I feel really uncomfortable with this. I'm kind of ashamed of.
I don't have any
my
shame.
Lower body.
He's blowing it.
Put the pants on.
Josh is ruining it.
Just like turn your head a little bit though.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get like the full look.
Yeah.
Dana wants you to have like a peripheral angle on her.
Okay. Just like hold on. I'm gonna.
These actually fit like not bad.
You look great in them.
Hold on.
Thank
I'm still.
You so much.
She's okay. Taking them back off.
I want to put them like on and off again. It feels good putting them on and off.
You look great in them. You look damn great, Josh.
You know what? I got most of this leg in there, and I think
Josh's
it's good.
Lower body is so bad.
No wonder he didn't want to do
Josh,
this prank.
This is not a good look. Not a good look.
It's so wet.
Slippery. I get really sweaty when I put on tight pants.
Lycra.
It's falling apart.
Ew, Josh, you're getting the material all over over me.
My sweat's also acidic and it dissolves the pants. I'm sorry.
The pants. Oh, no.
I ruined these pants.
Those were expensive. I hope you didn't want them back.
Oh, Josh ruined it.
I told you okay. not to fight him. So I would say this was like a success for the most part. That this prank was a success.
A net success, for sure. Which is Dana liked it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Josh ruined it.
Yeah. But there's no way we could have predicted. It wasn't something we did to Josh.
No.
M-R
this is this feels like...
T-A-Y-N. Are you guys going to tell them about this prank?
Bye.
I'm a horny girl wolf. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Colin Anderson, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com. Ow.
That was a HeadGum podcast.